This is Local Motion, KBNF's weekly public affairs show. I'm your host, Brody Wilson. In this episode, we're talking about a collaboration between Western Slope schools, nonprofits, and higher education partners that is trying to answer a big rural question. How do we help young people build meaningful futures here at home? For a lot of families in rural communities, there's a familiar worry. If you want the best opportunities for your kids, do they have to leave to find them? And if they do leave, will they ever come back? A new effort involving Montrose County School District, neighboring districts, and a nonprofit called Homegrown Pathways is trying to answer that question in a different way. The idea is to connect students to career pathways, entrepreneurial thinking, and real-world support while they're still in school, and to make those opportunities feel local, tangible, and within reach. If you don't have time to listen for the next 30 minutes, no worries. You can listen online by looking for Local Motion under the News tab at kvnf.org, or just search for KVNF Local Motion on Spotify. We hope you'll stick around and listen to this week's Local Motion. Recently, I sat down with Dr. Carrie Stevenson, the superintendent of the Montrose County School District, and Colin Lacey, founder and CEO of Homegrown Pathways. I started by asking them to describe the work that they're doing.
So Homegrown Pathways is a relatively new organization we launched 2 years ago now, with a focus to support young people in building high-quality family wage and above career pathways here in our home region. And that includes entrepreneurial pathways. So we have a core focus on building pathways via entrepreneurship. And that includes through our Spark Lab program.
Here, Dr. Carrie Stevenson described the larger regional collaboration.
Yeah, this really was an idea that came about from a post-pandemic grant. So Montrose County School District wrote a grant in order to provide our students with authentic, engaging career opportunities and career technical opportunities specifically. And so we were fortunate enough to win that grant and invited our neighboring school districts, Delta, Gunnison, and Ridgeway, to be a part of this collaboration. And a nonprofit was formed through that collaboration that we call the West Slope Schools Career Collaborative. We call it WISC for short.
WISC.
Really with the mission of, we want all West Slope kids to have opportunities in career pathways and career technical education, and we don't want district boundaries to limit their opportunities. So really, it's a mission to share ideas, share resources, share opportunities for kids.
That effort began with a state grant, but it has since grown into something broader.
Yeah, it was originally called a RISE grant. So it was a grant from Colorado Department of Education originally. So it really allowed us to just bring this work together and do some startup work for it.
Cool. And so are there other funding organizations now, or is it still solely funded through RISE?
No. So that grant has expended. And so the WISC organization as a nonprofit is continually looking for additional grant opportunities. So Colin, I know, can speak to the grants that we are currently operating under, and within his role as executive director, I know that he is out there looking for additional funding sources as well.
That's part of what brought these two efforts together. Dr. Stevenson and Colin Lacey told me that about 8 months ago, they began talking seriously about what could happen if they pooled resources around a shared mission.
So, Colin, you're the ED of both Homegrown Pathways and WISC?
That's correct. So I'm the founder of Homegrown Pathways, and now, flashback about 8 months ago, Dr. Stevenson and I, as well as the WISC board, met because we saw this unique opportunity to actually start to pool, as you know, relatively limited resources here in our region, given the common mission and focus for the organizations.
Cool.
So Colin came to me like you said, about eight months ago. I had no idea that he even did a Spark Lab in a mini level with some of our kids, and really wanted to have a conversation about what does this look like? What kind of mission are you on here? And I think through that conversation, I know that we identified common passion for kids to be able to take advantage so much of their high school experience. I think we had a lot of the same goals in mind, and how can we make this bigger and make sure that our kids are not missing out on any opportunities and really capitalizing on that homegrown feel.
That phrase, not missing out on opportunities, gets at something that a lot of rural families know well. There can be a feeling that the cutting-edge opportunities, the flashy programs, the exciting ideas, they're happening somewhere else, in bigger cities, on the Front Range, or somewhere other than here. So I asked Dr. Stevenson directly whether that fear is real.
I think you're touching on something there that a lot of people who live in rural towns feel, which is that all the flashy, exciting, and leading-edge stuff isn't happening here, and my kid doesn't have those opportunities because we've chosen to live here. Tell me, could you speak to that a little bit? Is that something that motivated you to start this? And do you think that fear is true?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And when I say provide opportunities, we want our kids to understand that within any one career pathway, there's a lot of different off-ramps, and many of our kids don't go to college. So the career pathways for Montrose County School District are designed in such a way that you might have a career pathway that has a two-year option post-secondary, a four-year option post-secondary, industry credentials. Healthcare, for example, is one of the main pathways that WISC is helping the district with. So within the healthcare industry, there are lots of different kinds of careers, and bringing those to the attention of our kids, and how can you get the credentials in order to work in that field, and sometimes without leaving home, right? We have a lot of our kids that stay here, and we want to keep our kids here. That helps our economy.
That idea of learn here, train here, build something here, maybe even stay here if you want to, came up again and again in our conversation. I mentioned that it overlapped with a separate interview that KBNF had done with Randall Palmer at the Technical College of the Rockies, another institution involved in this effort.
This is just overlapping so much with the conversation I had with Randall Palmer at Technical College of the Rockies. He's a part of this. You're using the same language that he was about,
right.
about keeping our students here so they can learn here and stay here and support this economy and help grow what's happening here. What's Randall's role?
Yeah, Randall serves as a board member on the WISC board. So he has been on the WISC board from the beginning, helping to really develop the different pathways and the initiatives and the opportunities for kids.
And it's not just one school district or one nonprofit or one college. It's a broader regional table.
I love that this is not just a couple people, not just a couple organizations, but it's like kind of all of the educators on the Western Slope, from local county school districts to universities to technical college, all coming together with this kind of common vision.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. And we have every superintendent is a member of the board from each of the districts, as well as Randall from TCR and Steve Matheny from Colorado Mesa University plays an active role in this as well. So,
wow.
For Colin Lacey, that mission is also personal. He grew up here. And he says he's seen what rising cost and limited local opportunity can mean for young people trying to imagine a future in their hometowns.
Yeah, well, just to note, I mean, that was the driving force both personally and then tactically behind launching Homegrown Pathways. I'm a Ridgeway High School graduate myself, have seen firsthand as the cost of living continues to rise, this reality where young people are growing up here in the home region and they are not able to stay in their hometowns. And I think this effort is a core strategy to try to connect young people to the increasing economic opportunities that do exist. There's dynamic manufacturing sector across Montrose County and beyond. We have tech startups. We have a thriving outdoor recreation industry, but trying to be even more intentional about connecting young people to those pathways and then connecting to the high quality institutions that do exist here in the home region. TCR as an example, that runs really amazing programs that few people, frankly, are even aware of that exist.
In this conversation, I found myself reflecting on the ways that the rural-urban divide has changed. There are still real limitations in rural places, but there are also new ways to connect and collaborate and imagine careers that once might have felt completely out of reach.
And to give a real-time example of a project that we're working on that's literally the most cutting edge technology in the entire world. We're a Homegrown Pathways is a contractor for Elevate Quantum, which is the state's tech hub in quantum computing, which is the nation's first tech hub in quantum computing, most advanced computing in the world. And our contract is specifically focused on how we can strengthen rural pathways and pathways for rural youth to be able to plug into that kind of dynamic ecosystem. And that's a collaboration with the districts here too.
But this effort is not just about talking to students about possible futures in theory. It's also about changing what schools feel like in practice. One part of the collaboration is a program called Spark Lab. And one of the most striking moments in my conversation with Dr. Stevenson came when she said that these kinds of authentic, engaging opportunities should not be treated as extras. They should be a part of school itself.
So Spark Lab is a youth pre-accelerator model that we actually developed originally in partnership with Startup Colorado, which is the state's leading provider of supports for rural entrepreneurs. We ran a pilot in an after-school setting a little over a year ago with students from Montrose, Delta, Ouray, as well as Mesa counties. Went really well. The key data point was that 100% of the student participants said that they would be more likely to take action on a future idea. And that really gets to the ethos of the model around empowering young people, around the importance of them and their ideas. And then this year, as a result of the partnership with Dr. Stevenson and WISC, we are now scaling Spark Lab as a youth pre-accelerator model directly within the classroom during the regular school day as an embedded model.
That shift from after-school enrichment to something embedded in the school day matters a lot. Here's Dr. Stevenson on why.
Here's the most important thing. Authentic, engaging experiences for kids shouldn't have to be after school. It should be the way that we do business.
Amen.
100%.
I mean, yeah, that's what Spark Lab is helping us to do. And the first event at Olathe Middle High School for us this year was just incredible. Seeing the students' confidence and public speaking and, you know, just the encouragement of the mentors, it was just an incredible experience for them.
I'm a little bowled over by what you just said, that authentic, engaging events are what you should be doing at school.
Yes.
Not what you should try to create after school.
Correct.
Just say more about that, because it goes against what I think most of us, but adults in our school experiences are very different from what you just said.
Sure. You know, the real learning happens when you apply the learning. I know when I was in school, I'm sure when you were in school, Brody, you were introduced to a concept by a teacher and the first thing in your mind was, why are we learning this, right? What am I ever going to do with that? And so by creating activities and opportunities for kids where they're applying that learning to a real world, authentic example, it really helps them to embed the learning, understand where they can take that learning, and decide whether or not that's a passion point for them, right? I mean, college is expensive and post-secondary is expensive. And as many opportunities as we can give our kids in high school to weed out the areas that they don't want to explore after high school, then we are doing them a great service by doing that as well. But if we can help them zone into that one thing that they really are passionate about, that they decide that's what they want to do for their future, then it's our responsibility to help them down that road.
I asked her whether this kind of thinking is now standard among educators or whether it still feels innovative.
A little bit of both. It's a little bit of both. You know, we always need to make sure that our kids are getting the foundation, and sometimes that doesn't feel authentic. But once they have that foundation and even authentic opportunities to get that foundation, that is more of an innovative approach that we need to do more and more of. because that's what keeps kids in school.
You're listening to Local Motion, KBNF's weekly public affairs show. I'm Brody Wilson, your host this week. This week, we're talking about a new collaboration between Western Slope Schools and the nonprofit Homegrown Pathways. The effort is designed to help students explore career pathways, pitch their ideas, and get real support while they're still in school. My guests are Dr. Carrie Stevenson, superintendent of Montrose County School District, and Colin Lacey, founder and CEO of Homegrown Pathways. If you're not able to listen to the full episode, you can always listen to Local Motion by going to kvnf.org and looking for Local Motion under the News tab, or you can just search for KVNF Local Motion on Spotify. Now, back to the show. So what does Spark Lab actually look like? Colin Lacey says students can pitch a business, a nonprofit idea, a creative career pathway, or some other creative project. The larger point, he says, is to help students identify what they care about and what a future rooted in this region could actually look like.
Just to kind of step back and give you a sense of what these students are developing and pitching first. So young people have the opportunity to pitch a specific business idea that they have or a business they're currently working on. They have the opportunity to develop a new nonprofit model if they'd like to. They also have the opportunity to pitch a creative career pathway opportunity that they would like to explore. And then the fourth category is a creative project. And so we have, ultimately, it's all grounded in the importance of you and your ideas. And so young people are going through this self-reflection process of identifying, what do I care about? What is an opportunity for me to potentially make a living here in my home region? And then tactically, what are some very first steps that I could take to explore that? And that's where our seed funding comes into play as well. And so we have young people that were pitching businesses that range from culinary businesses, skilled trades and construction, even micro manufacturing businesses. We had nonprofits that are focused on supporting creativity in the arts among young people. And creative projects like a documentary film project focus on the challenges of social media among youth today and how it's a drain on skills development and passions. And this is a young person. And so you have this whole gambit of really powerful community self-driven ideas.
And this is not just a classroom exercise. Students are pitching in front of real adults with real resources and getting real dollars to take next steps.
In 2 weeks from now, we'll have provided almost $25,000 in direct cash funding to students in Montrose and Delta County School Districts in just the three implementations that we've had in the last couple months.
That's big money for it's around here, it's real money. Directly into the hands of these kids and their businesses.
It's real money, and it is designed, and it's not just an award, like a pat on the back, nice job, but it is specifically for action steps and seed investments that they've identified that will enable them to take next steps, whether that's purchasing new equipment, whether that's specific training or development that they need. And it is designed for them to actually move the needle on their idea and for them to explore how that can be connected to their future.
But the more that we talked, the clearer it became that the money is not really the center of this story. The deeper point is what that support means to a young person.
No matter what happens with a particular kid's idea, I'm just struck by how empowering it could be to have a kid who might not have had that experience anywhere else in their lives have all of a sudden the support to say, this is an idea that you can run with, and here are the steps you could take. How empowering.
Yeah, I mean, just think about that for a minute. It's so much more than the money. It's the fact that somebody listened to me. It's the fact that somebody believes in me. Somebody thinks my idea is valid, right? It's that confidence. Our kids in rural sectors don't always get those opportunities. And so the money is great and the projects are great, but the look on their face when they realize what they have just received is priceless.
That is the heart of this story. It's not just workforce development or entrepreneurship or a grant program. It's what happens when a young person feels seen. when they realize an idea they've been carrying around might actually be worth pursuing, and that someone is listening, that somebody believes in them. And Colin Lacey says you can feel that change in the room.
Imagine, so you have a class of students who did not necessarily actually sign up. Like, this is embedded within the course. And that's actually one of the powerful things, where this is something that we're embedding directly within the experience. Spark Lab is only roughly about 12 hours of total academic engagement time. So it's a relatively short amount of time. And that's the beauty of the model that can make it scalable and be able to be embedded within existing courses, is it's not an entire semester long class. So you have young people who are on the, kind of the edge of their seat, in many cases pitching their idea or pitching anything at all for the very first time in a room that includes superintendents. We have private equity, venture capital firms. We have presidents of banks. We have the heads of important economic institutions like Montrose Economic Development Council, like Region 10, together with local industry. And so a room, they're pitching a room that, frankly, most people will never pitch in their entire lives. And they're doing it as 15, 16-year-olds. It is, at its core, a youth empowerment model. It is not Shark Tank. Every student, there's a range, but every student receives seed funding to take actionable next steps on their idea. And you can see, as Dr. Stevenson notes, you can see the light bulb go off and there's this recognition, my ideas matter, and I'm excited to explore them, and this community is investing them. And I think that's where the dollars themselves matter less than the fact that there is real money behind it. And I think that's what communicates the importance of them and their ideas.
There are already examples of what that can lead to. Lacey shared the story of one young woman from Olathe who used Spark Lab support to take her dessert business from something she was doing for friends and family to something more formal.
Young woman who is from the Olathe community, Olathe High School. She's now a graduate. She was a single mother, still is a single mother. She had a culinary business that she had desserts that she had been, and this was an active business that she had just been kind of starting with friends and family. And through Spark Lab, she pitched for equipment that would enable her to actually form more of a commercial operating business, as well as the necessary licensing in order to start up that business. She received seed funding not only from Homegrown Pathways, but she was one of the judges within the event, awarded her one of the highest allocations. She's been able to actually launch her business. She provided desserts to our Olathe pitch event that we just had a couple months ago as well. And so she's actively doing it. And she's now contributing directly to the events and is one of our culinary partners.
That story alone gives you a sense of what this can look like when it works. A student has an idea. The idea is taken seriously. There's some support, some equipment, some licensing, some encouragement. And suddenly a side project begins to look more like a real business. And the ideas themselves vary widely.
There's another student that in the most recent pitch event wants to do a documentary on the effects of social media on teens. That's a real passion point of mine as well. So I'm super excited to see what he does with that and how we can embed that in, you know, messaging for our whole community. So the ideas vary so widely.
And Jack, that student, he's doing that now. And so he's actually in an apprenticeship with Homegrown Pathways directly. We're actually working on a documentary project as well. So he's getting to learn from our team. He has his first interview session for his documentary next week. And so it's a real, it's not just kind of a one-time great event. Young people are out there right now doing these things.
For parents trying to understand what exists for their kids, Dr. Stevenson says there are already more formal tools and pathways in place.
Yeah, I would just say the Career Pathways program at Montrose County School District, we have a career guide. Every family should have received a career guide. So if you don't have one, please reach out to your school. They're happy to provide you one. And, you know, really have conversations with your children about what opportunities are out there. We have our construction trades event coming up in April. I believe it's April 14th this year, which is an incredible hands-on event. If you've never come to that, you should stop by and see. We have amazing partnership with all of the tradesmen in the county and around the region. They come and they have hands-on displays for kids where kids are actually learning how to bricklay and learning how to frame a building and learning how to weld and put out fires and climb poles as a lineman. And it's just they're all walking around in hard hats. It's just an incredible event. So, you know, all of our partnerships and all of our support help us to put on these great activities for kids.
Dr. Stevenson also explained how WISC fits into the larger career pathways model in Montrose County Schools.
Sure. So WISC helps Montrose County School District with 3 out of the 16 pathways that we provide kids. So WISC helps us with the healthcare, health industry, construction trades, and outdoor industry and tourism.
Tell me how these pathways play in the school district in Montrose.
So we allow kids to start exploring pathways when they are in middle school. We have career fairs. We have different technological tools that help them identify not only their aptitudes, but their interest. And then by the time they get to high school, they select and identify a pathway. Then they can start selecting courses throughout their high school career that help them down their pathway. So one of the goals that we have as a school district is called the Big Three, which is that every student, by the time they leave high school, ends up with an industry certificate or work credit or concurrent enrollment classes. So it doesn't matter what pathway you design, we're going to encourage you to leave high school with something that allows you to be prepared for your next step.
A running start.
A running start.
And Lacey says one of the next things coming out of this work will be a more formal toolkit around the outdoor industry and tourism careers, something meant to help students and parents see what those pathways could actually look like in this region.
And just to give you an idea of a specific project that will be coming out of WIS that's specifically connected to one of those pathways and ultimately a resource for parents, for students, for districts, is we're actively diving into building out a more formal career pathways toolkit for the outdoor industry and tourism sector specifically, in particular next steps that young people can take within our local post-secondary institutions and training programs. So TCR, CMU Montrose, Western, and ultimately building out a toolkit that can uplift what does a career pathway in outdoor industry and tourism, what could that actually look like? And there's a variety of different options, a lot of things that a lot of us are not even familiar with, that there's really high quality jobs that exist in our home region. So
the larger vision here is not just to run a few isolated events. It is to scale this, to make it more available, to let more students have this kind of experience before they leave high school.
So that'll be a toolkit. We'll have a 1.0 version of that later this spring that we'll be deploying with districts and hopefully growing that in the next many months. But I think that'll be a really exciting, tangible project that will ultimately be a parent resource that will go across the region. I'd note on Spark Lab in terms of opportunities to support, contribute. If you're interested in contributing to the Youth Venture Fund, you can actually designate the specific district that you would like to support. 100% of that support goes directly into the ideas of young people. So that's the beauty of the support that we have. And then, you know, together with Dr. Stevenson, the other districts in the region and beyond, we're actively designing a scale strategy for the upcoming academic year, thinking about how can we grow this model? How can we scale it across courses? And ultimately, how can we work really closely with our districts who are leading really innovative work for our young people, but in a way that's scalable based on the limited capacity that we have that will involve, I think, a lot more collaboration with teachers and training, kind of a train-the-trainer model as we start to move into scale. And so hopefully it becomes something where, you know, I think from our perspective, every young person, by the time they graduate high school, should have an opportunity like this to go through the idea generation experience, to receive support for their ideas, and ultimately to be able to go out there and test them with that support.
Cool.
Just like Colin said, I would love every child to be able to experience this. So we just have to see our capacity for moving it forward and hopefully coming to a high school near you.
This has been Local Motion, KVNF's weekly public affairs show. I'm Brody Wilson. Special thanks to my guest this week, Dr. Kerry Stevenson, superintendent of the Montrose County School District, and Colin Lacey, founder and CEO of Homegrown Pathways. If you missed a portion of this show and would like to listen later, look for Local Motion under the news tab at kvnf.org or search for KVNF Local Motion on Spotify. Thanks for listening.